Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Blog Talk, and Happy New Year. Thank you for joining me. I keep having an issue with this music every time I log on. I don't know what's going on, if it's a malfunction or whatever. But at any rate, Happy New Year. Thank you for joining me for this message. May I have your attention? Before I get started, I have to say thank you, Jesus, for your presence in my life. And Father God, oh, Father God, if I talked all day long, every day, praising you for who you are, it still wouldn't be long enough to adequately thank you. But just know, Heavenly Father, as long as I have breath, your praise shall continually be in my mouth, for you alone are worthy. You alone are worthy. Well, let's get right into the message. May I have your attention? First, I want to remind listeners that these broadcasts are done out of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So if there are lapses in time from the last broadcast to the next, it's because I'm waiting for the Lord to give me a message. This for me is not a radio show per se. It's a broadcast that I do as a result of the unction of the Holy Spirit to share a message. But know this, I would never just disappear and stop doing the broadcast unless I mentioned it and told you beforehand that the Lord has called me to do something else. So, again, if there are a few days lapses, I'm not gone. I'm just waiting. Okay? Now, with that being said, let's get to it. You know, I always have a scriptural reference for you, and I do. I'm just going to give it at the end of the broadcast, but it's short and sweet, nothing complicated about it. But I need to convey the message first. Today's broadcast is from an experience I was having over the Christmas holiday, and I was led to share it with you. Okay, I don't know if I've shared this with my listeners before, but I have four sons, ages 29, 26, 19, and soon to be 17. Now, my oldest son is in the Marines. My 26-year-old works, and he's in college full-time. My 19-year-old is in college full-time, and my 17-year-old is in high school. So, given that I have two in college and one in high school, these three, I expected, would be around the house a lot with me over the holidays because of schools taking the Christmas break. Okay? And I teach, so I had Christmas time off as well until the first of the year. Now, my oldest son is out of state, and I wasn't expecting him home for the holidays. Now, in years past, it has never failed because of habit and family traditions and so forth. You know, when we had these days off around Christmas, I would, you know, get up early in the morning and start the day by cooking a large breakfast for me and my sons. And, you know, they would get up and come and eat, and we have conversation about everything from A to Z, you know, at the breakfast table, just spending quality time together during breakfast. And usually after breakfast, I would kind of plan some things for us to do during, you know, all these break days, so to speak. We might go visit my mom or grandmother. We might go catch a movie together or go bowling or catch a Hawks basketball game downtown in the evening or something. We just always had things we would do together during the Christmas season. Well, the oddest thing began to happen this Christmas. after breakfast, I would maybe, you know, get a shower and so forth, getting ready to partake in some of the things that I had planned for us to do. And without fail, every morning after I got out of the shower, one at a time, one of my sons would come to me and say something like, Mom, I'm getting ready to go over to my friend's house, or Mom, I'm getting ready to go with my girlfriend Christmas shopping, or Mom, I'm getting ready to go to the gym to play ball. It was always something that they were getting ready to do, and I'd be sitting home alone because they had all disappeared. And it was odd because I could see this happening maybe, you know, one or two days. I mean, I got a household full of males here, and, you know, I wouldn't expect that they'd be trying to stay up under me all the time. But I'm telling you, this happened every day starting around December 20th through New Year's Eve. My sons were home for the holidays, but I was hardly seeing them. And I started to get a little depressed about it. Now, mind you, during the day, this is going on. Well, at night, something else was going on with me. I would go to bed, you know, but I couldn't sleep. I kept waking up in the middle of the night, and I'd lay in the bed a little while, hoping to fall back asleep. But it just wasn't happening. I could not sleep. I just lay there tossing and turning. And it was just this kind of crazy restlessness going on in my spirit. If there are any female listeners out there, I might compare it to, like, you know, when you're pregnant, right before it's time for you to give birth, you just know something's happening. You know, you just know it. You have a restlessness. You start cleaning up a lot. You start doing laundry. You just start doing all kinds of stuff because you can't rest. Well, one night it was so bad that I decided to just get up and go in the kitchen and bake some cookies at 3 o'clock in the morning. I had some Pillsbury cookie dough that I had, you know, that you just kind of spoon out in small portions, put it on the baking sheet, and put it in the oven for about 15 minutes, and they're done. Well, if you've ever baked some cookies, you know that aroma goes throughout the house quickly. And so I woke my sons up with these cookies unintentionally. It was the funniest thing. All three of them came in the kitchen and said, Mom, why are you up at 3 o'clock in the morning making cookies? And I didn't really have an answer. I was restless, and that's all I could think of to do. So we all ate some cookies, drank some milk, and they went back to sleep, but I still couldn't. So while I'm lying in bed, looking at the clock, watching it go from 4 a.m. to 5 a.m., to 6 a.m. and so on, you know, I began to sense in my spirit that the Lord was involved in this, that he was doing something because it was too odd and unusual, you know, that he was the reason for my unrest. So I stayed up all that night thinking about this and, you know, just wondering if it was God or if it was, you know, because it was a holiday season and I'm excited about the time that I have with my sons, or the expectation of the time that I was going to have with my sons because they weren't around. Okay? So, like clockwork, this had been going on since before Christmas. I'd cook and we'd eat breakfast, and then my sons, one by one, would leave and be gone all day. And I'm home alone all day. Well, you know, all these days go by, and it is now New Year's Eve. And I'm thinking, surely, you know, they'll probably be home today. Not. They left again all day. New Year's Eve, and I'm home alone. And Blog Talk, I'm sure you figured out by now that I don't have a boyfriend. Because if I did, you know, I would have just taken off and gone over to his place since they kept leaving me every day. But it's all good, as they say, because I believe the Lord is going to fix that this year. I really do. I feel that in my spirit. He's going to take care of that situation. But anyway, back to the story. Now, I'm an avid reader, and oftentimes I might buy two or three books at a time with the intention to read them as soon as time permits. So I knew I had, you know, a book or two around the house that I hadn't read yet to occupy this alone time that I was experiencing. So I'm looking at a couple of books that I haven't read yet, and my spirit leads me to choose. Let me see, what was the title of it? How to Listen to God by Charles Stanley, who happens to be a well-known pastor in Atlanta, where I live. I bought this book a few years ago, but I never read it. Well, apparently this was the appointed time, so to speak, for me to read this book. I started reading it, and, you know, it's talking about the various ways that we can discern the voice of the Lord. Now, let me remind you of what I told you earlier, that during Christmas season, two things were going on. My sons kept leaving the house every day and staying gone all day, and I had this restlessness in me at night, and I couldn't sleep. Okay? Now, back to the book. When I got to page 32, it said, quote unquote, one of the ways the Lord speaks to us is through a restless spirit. When I read that, I put the book down for a second because, you know, sometimes God just trips you out and you just have to take a minute to let things sink in. Because I was having this restlessness, and then I pick up this book to read, and on page 32, that's what the book says. This is one of the ways that God speaks to you. Okay? So while I had the book lying on the bed, the Holy Spirit said to me, think about today. If your sons have been home, you would have gone out to do whatever, and you never would have been home to see this in this book, to realize God has been causing your restlessness because he's been trying to speak to you. Now, after letting what the Holy Spirit said to me sink in a minute, I picked the book back up and continued to read. I don't remember what page this was on, but how about this book said, when God is trying to get your attention, he will interrupt your regular routine. The Holy Spirit had me put the book down when I read that again. He said to me, you see how the Lord caused an interruption in your normal holiday routine? How normally in years past, your sons would be home with you, and you all would go out and do things. But this year, you didn't spend that much time with them because they kept leaving and being gone all day. That was me, the Holy Spirit said. I was interrupting your routine by sending your sons away, sending them out of the house because I've been trying to talk to you to get you alone. Well, after the Holy Spirit spoke that to me, I apologized to him. Do you know it's okay to apologize to the Holy Spirit? Here's why I felt compelled to apologize to the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not one to neglect my relationship with the Lord. I'm up at 5:30 every morning, even on the weekends. I start my morning every day watching Christian television. I watch pastors like Andrew Womack, Paula White, Joyce Meyer, and Creflo Dollar every morning. So I'm not negligent in getting the word. But here's why I felt the need to apologize to the Holy Spirit. I was getting the word in the morning, but I was being distracted also through this routine that I had established. You know, you do the right thing at the wrong time sometimes. I was doing the right thing, but in these recent days during the holidays, apparently it was at the wrong time because the Lord had been trying for days to get my attention by putting me in seclusion somewhat, you know, causing my son to leave home every day and leaving me to mope around the house and look for alternative things to do to occupy my time. And also by giving me a restless spirit at night, taking my ability to rest away, you know. And this was when I began to take notice of what was going on after several days of not being able to sleep, because I've never had a problem sleeping, you know, but I didn't fully make the connection until the Lord sent my sons out of the house and he had me to begin reading that book that, you know, again said one of the ways the Lord speaks is through a restless spirit and by interrupting our routine. Now, after all that, you might want to know, well, G. Walker, what was the Lord trying to tell you? You know, Blog Talk, I'm sorry. At this point right now, I can't tell you. But I have a very strong feeling that I know what it is. So now I have to hold my peace, so to speak. Now, I want to get ahead of God, okay? But suffice it to say that I believe that it pertains to a January deadline that I had given myself. And I believe the Lord was trying to let me know that it's here before your deadline, right on time, just like I always am. And, you know, we have no right to, you know, give the Lord any type of deadline and expect him to do something for us by some day that we set. It wasn't a situation like that. I was just telling the Lord that by this day, I was going to enter into a further type of commitment with him. And so he was trying to respond to me with regard to that. Okay, but maybe one of these days, as what I believe the Lord was trying to say to me begins to manifest even more, if the Lord permits, I'll do a part two of this broadcast and tell you what the Lord was trying to get my attention about and tell me. But as far as you are concerned, I share this experience for two reasons. To stress the importance of finding quiet time for the Lord, because oftentimes when we seek him about something or need him to answer us or give us instruction or lead and guide us in some form of fashion, we pray and we ask him to answer us or tell us what to do in instances when we don't know what to do. But guess what? We don't leave quiet time in our lives to hear back from him. You know, the voice of the Holy Spirit, if you've ever felt his presence or heard him speak to you, you know his voice is gentle, almost faint, you know, kind of like a whisper in your spirit. It's not loud at all. And if you've never experienced him speaking to you, then you definitely have to begin spending more time in his presence and reading God's word, because the Bible says, my sheep know my voice. You know, I know the voice of the Holy Spirit, but I wasn't permitting any quiet time to take place in my life this holiday season. And this was crucial because, like I said, I had this deadline thing going on of January 1st. So how could I make some type of request for him around the holiday season, knowing that I have this time limit, and yet I'm permitting no time in between to receive the answer from you? You know, that just didn't even make sense. I was doing the wrong thing. Because he had the answer and was trying to tell me if I would just get quiet long enough to hear. Therefore, he had to do things to get my attention and let me know he's trying to answer me. He had to cause me to be restless. He had to send my sons out of the house. He had to lead me to a book that would tell me, look, G. Walker, shush, get still. I'm trying to tell you something, woman. He was like, you know, stop watching TV ministers in the morning sometimes when you wake up and just allow your environment to be quiet. Even though that was an okay thing to do, but, you know, I was doing the wrong thing doing the right thing routinely, but sometimes at the wrong time, and never leaving some of this early morning time to be silent, to be quiet, to get before the Lord, okay? Now, Blog Talk, here's a scripture that goes with this message that I told you I was going to give you, short and sweet. It is Mark 1:35. It reads, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Now, let me go back a couple of verses, because if you paid attention to that scripture, it said Jesus left the house. So I need to tell you whose house he was at. Back up at verse 30, it reads, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her. The fever left, and she began to wait on them. Let me read that again. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. So they were at Simon's mother-in-law's house. Now, Blog Talk, just a side note here. For those of you listening, particularly men who sometimes get tired of your mother doting on you, trust me, as a mother, I can't help it. But, you know, I've experienced my sons at moments in time, and I have know men who I know love their mother, but there are just those moments when mothers can dote on you too much and we kind of get on your nerves. Did you hear what I just said in this scripture? Simon's mother-in-law was sick. She had a fever. Jesus healed her, caused the fever to leave, and no sooner than he did that, mom began to wait on them. She began to see about the man again. He probably was like me. He probably got up, went in the kitchen, and started cooking, you know. But anyway, like I told you in the beginning of the broadcast, you know, when your sons are around and you're happy that they're here, and I don't know, that's one of the ways that women express love, I suppose, by cooking and, you know, feeding, and that's just part of one of those nurturing things that we do, okay? And, you know, furthermore, we just need to learn to strike a balance in doing that, because, you know, my boys are pretty much grown men, but regardless of how old, you know, you are, whether you're 19 or 49, mothers are not going to ever stop being mothers, okay? But anyway, back to Jesus, verse 39, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went out off to a solitary place where he prayed. And solitary meaning alone, without companionship, secluded. Now, with us having an understanding of who Jesus was, the Anointed One, the Son of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and so forth and so on, if Jesus had to find time, you know, quiet time, to pray and hear from God, surely, you know, we have to do that because we are nowhere near being filled with all the holiness that he possessed, okay? So, Blog Talk listeners, find some quiet time in your life on a fairly regular basis to give God the opportunity to speak to you, you know, when you are seeking him on various matters, okay? Don't force him to have to do to you, you know, what he did to me to cause my family to leave me during the holidays and take away my sleep, take away my ability to rest. You know, don't let him have to do you like that. And, you know, it also could get worse even. That was a mild form of trying to get my attention. But, you know, God can, he has his ways. So don't let those ways have to be severe to you, you know. This year and this new year, let's perhaps try to make a commitment to turn off the TV at home sometimes, to shut off the cell phone sometimes, to turn the radio off in the car sometimes when we're driving. You know, there are a myriad a number of ways to find quiet time for God, okay? There are, you know, just several ways. You can get up a little early in the morning. And, I mean, you know, it's not something that you have to do every morning. You don't have to get up every morning, even though it's not a bad thing to get up and go before the Lord every morning in total silence. But, you know, if you've got a regular routine like me where you watch, you know, ministers on TV, well, you know, sometimes I need to not do that. Sometimes I need to not turn the TV on and just get in the presence of the Lord and see if he's trying to speak to me. Or, you know, sometimes right before you get ready to go to bed at night, if you typically go to bed at 11 o'clock, well, you know, shut everything down, you know, around 10:15, 10:30. Just lay in your bed quietly and see if, you know, the Lord is trying to talk to you about anything. You know, at work, sometimes if, you know, you tend to go in an employee's break area or something like that to have lunch, well, you know, when the weather gets nice again, don't do that. Go sit out in your car and eat lunch in total silence without the radio on. Just go sit outside. Or, you know, like I said, there are a variety of ways that we can find time in our day to spend silence with the Lord, and we need to make it a regular part of our lives. Here's what we can't do. We can't pick one day out of the week or one day out of the month and say, okay, Saturday, you know, I'm going to spend some time with the Lord and see what he says, because he may not speak that day. So that's why it has to be a regular part of our lives, because you never know when he's going to speak. You know, we can't make an appointment and make him speak on Saturday at 2:30. You know, that's why it has to be a regular part of our lives, because we never know when he is going to want to speak on that. But anyway, Blog Talk, I'm looking at my switchboard, and it is counting down. I have about 60 seconds left. So I want to say thank you for joining me again. This is G. Walker. Have a wonderful week. And God willing, I'll be back real soon with another message, okay? Real soon. Be blessed.